Hey everybody, this is Mick Mars, and we're talking rock with Dave and Shane.
Yes.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Whoa! Rock and roll, ladies and gentlemen.
Diamond.
Oh, this is a big one.
Hey everybody, this is Joel Linter.
Hi everybody, this is Rob Halford.
Rudy Sargent.
Hey there, this is Steve Hackett.
You folks are just recapping a triumph,
and we're talking rock with Dave and Shane.
There you go.
It is awesome.
Am I there?
Yes. There's the
How
legend.
How you doing?
There I am, all hideous.
Oh, no, not at all. No. The legend. We are not worthy. Thank you, Mick Mars, for taking the time.
Take it.
No. We're just huge fans, man. And the other side
huge
of Mars.
Fans.
What we've heard of this record, it's just like we get so excited because your riffs are so iconic. And I'm wondering, what's it like for you, especially doing your own thing? Do you have so much creativity, so much creative power that you don't know what to do with it? Because you're the guy.
Well, you know, I don't think that I have that much power, but, you know, it's like I have a lot of different kinds of music and different flavors, different, you know, I got a lot of background in a lot of different things, you know, so not that I've necessarily, you know, play it. I don't know. I just got a lot of stuff in my head. Sometimes it comes out, sometimes it sticks. It's a weird thing to explain. I'd like to take my brain out, put it in your head for a minute. And then you go like, oh, I got it.
I don't think I can handle it. It'd be like Charlie Sheen. We can't handle it. Take it back.
No, that wouldn't happen. Not at all.
Well, yeah. Mick, it's so awesome that you're back. You're making new music. Can you kind of share what the inspiration behind all this formation of this new band and this whole creative process on this new record? What was that like?
Well, you know, I've been working on this for quite a while, you know, and you know, off and on and off and on. But you know, I was not reinventing but myself, but I already knew what I wanted to do, but to learn how to do it again, you know. It's like, yeah, you know, I go from one thing to another, you know. And so it's like a direction that I wanted to go is like, I don't know if you've heard Undone yet or any of those. Well, that is more of a kind of a feel or a direction, more of a cinematic kind of a thing. I don't want to call it like, you know, it's certainly not like progressive or anything like that, but trying to more interweave the music as opposed to like, you know, here's a verse, here's the chorus, here's a shred guitar, you know what I mean? I'm trying to really concentrate and make, like, if I indeed put like a real guitar solo in, is to weave it in and out. So it fits in the song. It's like, you know, part of the music, but it's like, there's no singing going on, but it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, I can't explain it, but I know what I'm doing now, but I can't explain it. But you heard it. The solo goes in and out, but it fits within the music, you know? So.
Yeah. You got Paul Taylor working with you got Paul Taylor working with you on this. You got Chris Collier, Ray from Korn. I mean, talk about what it was like in this band together, working, you know, putting the producers together on this. Michael Wagoner, I believe is how you say it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Wagoner.
You said it right.
Wagoner. Am I saying it right?
Yeah.
How did you line up with these guys?
Well, you know, I was writing a lot of stuff, and there was two things I needed was a real engineer, so I'm not sitting there going, you know, pushing all the buttons, recording all this, going back and, you know, that stuff. So I called Michael and I go, hey, you know, a good engineer that wants to help me, and he goes, yeah, me. So I said, well, get on over here. And it was cool to re-hook up with Michael again, you know, because I hadn't seen him in a little while. And so we hooked up, and I go, I need somebody else to help me bring these songs alive, Dave. You know, and I go, not new in Tennessee. I've been like 13 years or something, but I didn't know anybody. And he goes, well, Paul Taylor, he can come over. And I go, get him over. So that went that way, right? So Michael introduced me to Paul. Paul introduced me to Jacob. And also, Michael introduced me to Ray Luzier. So it was like this combination of people just kind of, and things just started exploding. And yeah. I'm like, oh, there it is, finally. So, yeah.
How did you approach your guitar work on this album, Mick? Like, what do you do to, because, I mean, you were obviously in a very, very major band for all those years. You don't want to sound just like them, but you also want to have that individual feel to this record. How did you kind of approach the guitar? What are you using and all that on this recording?
You know, there's my sound is, you know, what it is, like anybody, like Jeff Beck or Jimmy Page or Jimi Hendrix, or all of those guys have their own certain distinct sound that you can hear. So with me, you can tell it's me, but it's not Motley Crue songs.
Yeah.
Motley were more adamant, you know, kind of like, you know, so the car can go like girls, 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 you know, and that kind of thing. And so anyway, I wanted to, you know, the other side of me, another side of me, the, you know, the quote the album. And so it's like playing the songs that I did. I mean, I used a lot of different things. I used Marshall heads, Soldano heads, fractal things, and a lot of weird plugins to make my guitar almost. There's a song that I'm going to release, but not on, you know, immediately. I'm still working on it. It's called Fear. And when you hear it's like a bridge kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But I got my guitar to say Fear. So my guitar is saying Fear. And it's like some of the other stuff, like on this album, some of the weird tones and stuff are like, I don't know, weird plugins, weird stuff. And playing around, experimenting and doing stuff like on Right Side of Wrong, the beginning of it, that weird guitar.
Yeah.
Is like, I have a Melody Maker, a 63 Melody Maker. I plugged it through a magnetone. A little magnetone amp to get that sound, you know, and then hollowed it out a little bit more.
Nice.
So, you know, just playing around with things. Like, I got so much stuff here, you know, just to go, let me try that. Let me try fun stuff.
I love that. I play guitar too. So, and Shane's son does too. And so just playing with little things, and it's awesome, you know, and it's you know, surprising yourself with the sound. Wanted to ask you, I mean, obviously without getting into the stuff that, you know, as an artist, like when you express yourself, how much of what's been going on went into this record in terms of, you know, expressing yourself and trying to just get that load off? If that's all right, like I said, we don't have to.
Yeah, it's all good. It took me a while to, you know, readjust, of course, you know, I think, but like I said, I have a lot of different influences to separate after 40 years from that to other stuff. I mean, I started out on blues, R&B, funk, soul, you know, that kind of. You know, it's like it's all good and it's still in me. I still, you know, I love people like Cab Calloway, you know, and I like that old, you know, Minnie the Moocher stuff and all that kind of stuff. It's like I love that stuff, you know, and learning from that. And then, like, you know, but you know, it's like when you get in, you know, a band for like 40 years, you kind of like, and then you have to go, oh, there that is, there it is, there's it, you know? Because like I said, I got a lot of stuff going around in my head, and so like a beehive.
Well,
but yeah.
Mick, were the Beatles were they your band growing up? I mean, I know that you were at the right age, and I know you had the cover band, the Jades.
Yeah,
you Jades. Played bass in.
How'd you hear about that?
Oh, just it's out there. What did you think of the new Beatles song? And you know, I know part of it was done with AI, but that one really hit me hard. That's a really really nice song to end the career on, don't you think?
What the Beatles song?
Yeah, the new one.
John Lennon wrote that, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of that kind of technology with making music at this point, or
you know,
are you?
Yes, I like to expand and do a lot of things. I mean, I'm a guitar player, but to add a new sound, a new flavor, color, whatever you want to call it, and step back and listen to it for a while, or go in the next day and go like, it's a wonderful thing. You know, or it was that, because I don't want to accidentally end up on something, you know. Like with Memories is a pretty good example. I wrote that song on guitar, and I had Paul take it home and put piano on it, right? Transposed it and put piano on it.
Yeah.
Well, see, I just went, that's all I want to hear. Don't want to hear guitars, don't want to hear this, don't want to hear that. And Paul playing piano, Jacob singing it and playing the violin on it. Nothing else. Like I've said before, like Freddie Mercury coming out and playing piano to this audience, and just like they're going like, oh my. And there's just like, you know, just this music coming at you. And you go, that's what I'm about. Yeah. You know? If it doesn't need a part, it's not gonna be there.
I gotcha.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. When you look at where technology is now with music, AI and everything, I mean, does it blow your mind just, I mean, how you've seen technology evolve as a guitarist all the way up to where it is now? And does it make you a little bit nervous where some of it's going? You know, a lot of musicians say, you know, you don't want to lose that heart and soul of musicianship, you know, to technology. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Exactly right. You're exactly right. It's, I think I feel, I'm guessing that a lot of the feeling is kind of like being lost somewhere in the mix, you know? And like me being like really old school guys, like I believe in melodies, melodic, that kind of stuff. And it seems to me like a lot of, you know, I mean, is going like, you know, faster I play, the better, you know, and that kind of stuff. But then again, you know, to step back and listen to like what Bach, Beethoven, those guys were doing, if we would have stayed there, that's where we'd have stayed, you know? Yeah. So with my generation of playing, it's like I have this. These guys over here that's coming up and coming, that's their gig, you know? Yeah. They'll probably be asked the same question when they're my age, you know what I mean? They'll be going, oh, what the kids are going old crazy.
They'll be recording music in spaceships or something.
Yeah, I know, I've done it before. Huh? What's this sound like? Let's blow up a rocket. Boom!
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Well, Mick, we lost Randy Rhoads in 1982. He would have been 67 yesterday. I kind of look, you guys were like, from that same generation. Do you have any fond memories of Randy from back in the day? Were you guys, did you know each other? You know, that whole scene, the Strip, LA?
Randy and I didn't know each other. But I went to see him a few times at Starwood when he was with Quiet Riot.
Yep.
Right before Ozzy stole Rudy and Randy.
Yeah.
And I saw him a couple of times. Like, God, that kid's really, really a good player, you know? And so I went to see him a couple of times, and I wasn't surprised that he got there with Ozzy, you know, but it was cool to see that, you know?
Yeah.
But again, with like Eddie Van Halen was running around at that time too. And Ed and I go way, way back to memories when he was like 19 years old. And we played a lot. And Ed and I were like not close pals or anything, but we knew each other and we'd like, you know, goof around and tell jokes and that kind of stuff. And that was a blast, you know. So yeah, a few of the guys, you know, that I fully respect, you know, and during that time, you know, there's always the, you know.
Do you think there will be, I know Sammy's doing the tribute to Eddie Van Halen. There's been talk about, you know, different guitar players, you know, Joe Satriani. Yeah. Would you want to come out and, you know, do something? I know Sammy said he was open to, you know, a lot of guitar players coming out to do something. I mean, what do you think? And what do you think of, you know, the fact that there hasn't really been a tribute for Eddie for a few years now?
I'm not trying to be a butt, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nobody ever duplicate him. No one. You know,
yeah,
and I mean, look how many people are, you know, trying to imitate Jimmy after all these years. You know, it doesn't work.
No, you know, it doesn't.
You can hit the notes, but you know what? The hands, you feel the way that you connect with your guitar or whatever instrument that it is you're playing is different. You know. When you get somebody as good as Satriani that goes like, I can't play this lick, you know, with an Eddie lick, you know, and it's like, it's hard. How do you do? Well, he's Eddie Van Halen, you know, or he's Randy Rose, dude. You never copy it. You can mimic it, but not copy it. So that's the way I feel it, you know, and stuff. Like, if you can stand behind a curtain, you can certainly tell who's who, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the truth.
If that makes any sense.
Oh yeah, no, it does. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Sometimes my brain goes.
No, it makes total sense. Yeah.
were those guys? They were major inspirations to you when you were evolving from blues into metal, right? Those kind of players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I listened to a lot of stuff. You know, I had, like I said, the Beatles, you know, and then I was like heavily into blues and, you know, Motown. All sorts of stuff like that. You know, it's like Wicked Pickett and all those guys. That was Jimmy Hendrix.
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy Hendrix was playing with Wilson Pickett back then.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. You know, and I was like going, I'm like really liking this stuff, you know, and doing this. And just graduating, and I went and I go and discover another music, King Crimson, you know, that aggressive stuff. And Gentle Giant. And then Yes came along. That was pretty commercial progressive, though. You know, because they got on the radio. I didn't ever hear any Gentle Giant on the radio.
No, you don't.
You know, so... I had a friend of mine introduced me to, you know, to their music. I was going, what? You know, so it was kind of cool to learn that stuff, different approaches and stuff. I'm going, wow, this is a lot of different things, you know, flying around in my head. I wish I could capture just one.
I think you did.
How crazy was it? Like, you know, I mean, how wild was that scene? Like, can you kind of just paint the picture for us? I mean, from when bands first started hitting the circuit, when you first started playing the circuit, just all the talent that was around, was it just like, I mean, was it like lightning in a bottle? I don't know if that makes sense. Was it just like this complete, you know, surreal situation for you?
Truthfully, I'll tell you this, okay?
Yeah.
When Motley played, right, there were a lot of followers because it was a new sound on the strip. But here's the truth. I'd only play there. I'd go home. I lived in Redondo Beach. So I didn't go into Hollywood that much, you know. So, but I know my boys were crazy, you know. Those three guys were like, them and Robin Crosby and... and Piercy, Stephen Piercy, and all those guys were just all like, what? Okay, don't tell me anymore.
You were good not knowing, huh?
When you get on stage, you know, and you're playing like the Whiskey. But Nicky had been into a fight the night before. So he has this big black eye. So he goes like, there's a black on the other. Okay, that looks good. I'm going to get that too. So that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. There's a couple, I won't tell their names, but there's a cop car sitting with the window down and somebody started peeing in the window. All sorts of like, you know, stuff like that. That's like, I'm here. I want to play. So it's just, I don't know. They were having fun, you know? So,
You know, that the debauchery reminds me of a quote somebody said, quoting Joe Walsh, saying that, you know, this going back to AI, AI will never take over rock and roll and metal because AI can't destroy a hotel room. And I guess you can add into that, you know, the other stuff you mentioned.
That's right. AI, that's right. But you never know. Robots might get patented, you know, set and, you know, and short circuit, like all the horror movies on TV that you see. I don't know. It's all good. Whatever happens, you know, in the future, I'll be, you know, long gone, but okay, cool. You know, somewhere out here.
I think the ultimate cool, Mick, is that you still have never read The Dirt.
No, I haven't.
And you have no plans to, right?
Not really. I mean, I saw the movie.
Right. And
it was okay. I mean, it was pretty close to, you know, because I just go like, well, okay. And I'd be pretty passive. But those other guys were pretty, you know. But Ozzy, snorting ants, so on and so forth, all that stuff, crazy stuff. But no, I never dug into the book. But I watched the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, my parts about aliens and stuff. What I called trash can philosophy, you know. It's like, what if all of us are aliens and that kind of stuff? But.
Yeah,
I love that.
We're like England in the old days. You know, I think I said this in there. Putting all their bad guys to Australia. Yeah. Well, what if different aliens put all their bad guys here on Earth? So we're all descended from bad guys.
Earth is Australia. Yeah.
I don't know. I just think off the cuff, I guess.
Yeah. Mick, I got to ask you, because has the metal rock and roll community been supportive of you this past year? I mean, I know this was a crazy ass year for you. Has everyone reached out to you, a lot of people, and said, you know, attaboy?
Yes. There's quite a few that are going like, wow. And they were very surprised when they heard, you know, my music, Loyal to the Lie. I think they were blown away. You know, like going like, that's Mick, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I liked it.
I always thought, like, part of it too, you know, in crew, you know, four distinct personalities, especially the other guys all had such big personalities. It's so great that we're hearing your stuff, you know, like, it reminds me of KK from Judas Priest. You know, he, after 40 years, he was doing his own thing. And he just, when he put that first album out, Sermons of the Sinner, he was like, wow, like just that creative, like all of that came from him and that's his project, his baby. And you got to feel that way. I bet, like, just, wow, this is this canvas, you know, it's gotta feel surreal, you know, that, I mean, to put your own thing out there, it's heavy, it's awesome, it's getting crazy great reviews. It's gotta be like a full circle thing. Do you think?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, just what you said, like that, but not this big headed kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
so happy that, you know, so many people are digging, and even the musicians and stuff like that. But, you know, a long, long time ago, somebody told me to never believe your own hype. Mm-hmm. And I've always thought that way.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, I'm so, so grateful to all the people that really dig the album and stuff, but I'm not going to go walking around with my head, you know, going blue. You know,
I'm
not that type of person. You know, I don't know.
We were listening and we thought, you know, I just wonder, like, you know, after all those years, how do you still find the riffs, right, Shane? I mean,
my mind.
I talk about that all the time. How do you find those riffs still, you know?
A lot of times I'll sit down and play, you know, like I said, play some stuff and come back and listen to it. Or maybe I'll play, like, you know, a part and try to write a song with it, you know, and it's like, well, this part's good and this part's, you know, and then if I like the first part, then I can, you know, okay, let's take that weaker part and see if we can make it better. If it happens, cool. If it doesn't, then I'll start again, you know, with the good riff. And let me see. That kind of started on Killing Breed. That song. Yeah. And that song, when I was first working on it, turned for, let me think, Beginnings is what I called it.
Okay.
And back in, and it developed into, like, there were so many versions of it that I had to change the name. And it ended up being Killing Breed, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, it's like kind of, you know, sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it just comes straight out, you know.
Yeah.
Love it. It's a wild process, huh, man?
How many unreleased songs do you have? I mean, past this album, you already talked about one. Do you have a lot more material that you want to work on?
Oh, yeah. I have right now very, very, very solid four new songs. Paul's, you know, doing some stuff to it. Don't know if it'll work or not. You know, it's like I tell him to take stuff home and play around with it and see what happens, you know, because it's, you know, a fresh mind, a fresh, here's what I'm thinking, you know, if I'm digging it, if he digs it, you know, that kind of. So it's like, it's all creative process, and I like it, you know, a lot.
Yeah!